morning. Do you want to reserve any time?
Yes, Your Honor. 2 minutes, please. Thank you. Good morning. My name is John Groen. I represent the appellants, Kinder Ace. And as I mentioned, I want to reserve 2 minutes. This is a takings claim for parcel 9032 as it exists today and as it has existed since 2008 when the city approved a boundary line adjustment that created the present configuration of 9032. There is no dispute that parcel 9032, as it presently exists.
When you think about taking, you mean like if a person, you've got a piece of property, the city enacts some ordinance that creates restrictions on that property, and as a result of those restrictions, the person who owns the property is deprived of some reasonable economic use, and as a result of that, that's
not of some reasonable, but of all economically viable use. That is a regulatory taking established under the Lucas case from 1992 U.S. Supreme Court.
So if you've got a piece of property, regulations are enacted, you have no reasonable economic use, mm-hmm. That's a taking.
That's correct. Okay. That is a categorical taking. There's another way of proving a taking which doesn't require denial of all economically viable use. That's under Penn Central, and it's a series of factors. This case, we're not arguing that. We're arguing there's a denial of all economically viable use. Why? Because parcel 9032 only has 83 square feet, a little sliver. And if you saw in the city's brief, they have the sketch where you can see there's the little sliver, and that's it. Nothing else can be done with this parcel.
Now,
so
it's before the boundary line adjustment,
yes.
9032, do you agree that it did, in fact, have a reasonable economic use at that point?
Whether it would be a sufficient economic use to avoid a taking is not before the court. We don't know.
But there was an economic use.
The stormwater detention pond is an economic use of that area north of George Davis Creek. Okay. The area south of George Davis Creek was always intended to be reserved for future development, and it could have been developed at that time. The regulations that came in 2006 changed it so that the area south of the creek was no longer able to be developed.
So you would agree that 9032, as it was originally constituted as that parcel, it did have an economic use.
There was an economic use, a stormwater detention pond. Yes.
And then
yes.
But that area
north of the creek.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay. Then there was a boundary line adjustment. Mm-hmm. A new 9032 was created.
A new legal lot.
After the regulations had been passed.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yep.
Okay. So is there still a taking at this point when you have economic use?
Yes.
You create an area that no longer has the regulations are passed, and then the parcel is the boundary line is adjusted so that there is a specific area that is now encompassed almost entirely by those regulations, and in your view, that's a taking.
It is, and there's a significant oversight. When you're asking the question, you're saying you change the boundary lines. It is not the client, Kinder Ace, that changes the boundary lines. They apply for permission, and it must be reviewed and approved by the city. It is not a unilateral, voluntary action.
The owner is the moving force. The city doesn't come along and say, we're going to adjust the boundaries of your property unless you object.
But the city has criteria that must be satisfied, and the city's criteria comes right out of the state code. You cannot create additional lots. If you start with two, you must end with two. You can't start with two and end with four, so no additional lots. But second, the resulting lots must all qualify as building sites, and that's right out of their code. This is the Sammamish City Code, 19A240204B, and this is at page.
Was the failing of the city of Sammamish in this case that they didn't have an additional criteria? You can't create any parcel which has no reasonable economic use.
There's reasonable economic use if the reasonable use exception is granted. They cannot approve a boundary line adjustment. It would be illegal for them to do it if it did not qualify as a building site. Their code provides a boundary line.
If it had an additional requirement that said you can't create a parcel that has no viable economic use, which is basically what you're saying this parcel that was created has to assert your taking claim. If they had that criteria as a prohibition against boundary line adjustments, would we be here?
I'm not sure really whether you're phrasing that in a way that reflects, it's hard to say because denial of reasonable use is not at the creation of the lot. The denial of reasonable use is when the application for the pizza restaurant was denied. That's when it was determined that there's not reasonable use. It was determined to be a qualified building site. That's why the BLA was approved. If it was not a qualified building site, and remember their own definition, this is their code, building site means an area of land capable of being developed under current federal, state, and local statutes, including zoning and use provisions, dimensional standards, minimum lot width, shoreline master program provisions, critical area provisions, and health and safety provisions. That's a building site. If it does not meet that, they should never have approved the BLA.
So the mistake they made was approving the BLA?
Well, I don't think it is a mistake. They should have approved it. Why? Because they have a vehicle for granting a permit, the reasonable use exception. That if they had granted that, they could have built. It's completely buildable.
Didn't their approval of the boundary line adjustment also include a caveat that there was no guarantee that this is going to be a...
I'm glad you asked. The caveat says, does not guarantee the lots will be suitable for development now or in the future. That means that, you know, this is a standard disclaimer. It's stamped on every BLA. And all it means is that there may be all kinds of physical limitations in a property. Maybe it's zoned residential, but it can't qualify for a septic permit. Maybe it's a cliff or it's in a ravine. There may be all kinds of physical problems with being able to develop it. But from a legal perspective, it has to qualify as a building site under that definition that I just read to you, and it comes right out of their code. And so that's all that disclaimer means is, well, hey, we don't know if this is a cliff or a ravine, but legally, it qualifies as a building site, and there will not be anything in the city's code that is going to prevent you. That's the difference. And you'll find every BLA, I think, in every jurisdiction in Washington, they're always going to have that stamp. I've been involved in this business for a long time. You always have the stamp of disclaimer. But it doesn't insulate from a city action that precludes the ability to have the permit to use the property. It doesn't insulate you from a takings claim. And that's the critical distinction. We have here a parcel created under Washington law and under City of Sammamish law that cannot have been created without it being a qualified building site. As such, there are rights that attach, and those rights were denied when the city then turned course and denied the reasonable use exception. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Charlotte Archer, and I am here on behalf of the City of Sammamish. The city respectfully requests that this court affirm the dismissal of appellant's meritless claims for two clear reasons. One, no regulatory taking of appellant's property occurred because appellants obtained substantial economic use of the parcel via development in 2004 before the city enacted the economic regulations at issue here.
Question. Why would the city approve a boundary line adjustment that would create a lot that can't be?
The answer is very simple, and it is found in Sammamish's code. Appellant's counsel has continually not cited the second clause of the definition of what a building site is. And again, a BLA must produce a building site. A definition of a building site, which comes from 19A04060, subpart 2, is a parcel currently legally developed. The city properly stamped the BLA and approved of it because the area that was to be segmented off was developed. Appellant's counsel urges this court to use this terminology vacant, which vacant is a meaningless term in land use. The parcel in its entirety was included in the development application, and that is also a requirement from Sammamish Municipal Code 21A15315. An applicant must include the whole parcel or multiple parcels in a development proposal. Back in 2004, and this is in the clerk's papers, the application referenced the entirety of parcel 9032.
A boundary line adjustment is a development proposal.
No, I'm sorry. To clarify, I'm talking about the development proposal that was submitted back in 2004 for 9058, the parcel that contains the fast food restaurant and the Kinder Ace, in conjunction with 9032, the parcel subject in this case. That development proposal referenced all of 9032, which it was which the applicant was required to do, or the appellant rather, under Sammamish Code 21A15315. That application, those plans are at CP 382.
Does the code define the phrase legally developed?
I don't believe so, but legally developed in the context of all of the cases cited by both parties is...
I've got 10 acres. I build a house and put a septic tank on half an acre of it. Is a full 10 acres legally developed when I go in for my boundary line adjustment?
Well, that would be, in my opinion, of the Sammamish Code in Sammamish, yes, that would be fully developed. You have a house and the yard. Just because the yard is vacant doesn't mean it's not developed.
9.5 acres I didn't do anything to. It's the way it was when Lewis and Clark came down the Columbia River.
Well, in Sammamish, for example, if you had built that house, you would have maybe had to have kept part of that as an open space designated area. That would have been developed under the code. And again, when you submit a development proposal, we're talking about a discrete commercial lot in this case. The entirety of the lot must be included in the development site proposal. And at issue here is the fact that appellants developed the parcel in 2004, used a BLA to lower the appellant's property tax payments by almost 50% by shrinking the boundaries, and that BLA was properly approved of.
You said about shrinking the property tax. The property tax for that parcel, but did something change with respect to property tax on the rest of the adjacent parcels he owned?
That's an unknown to me. The parcel or the portion of the parcel that contains the actual...
If one bigger and one smaller, you would expect the tax on the smaller parcel to decrease, but correspondingly the tax on the larger parcel might increase.
The size was not a component of the application for the tax reduction. The only thing that was included on that application by the appellant was the fact that the plot was fully encumbered by wetlands and was not developable. And that's in the record as well at CP 738, that application. So again, the fact that a BLA does not create a new lot that can be redeveloped suddenly. When you have a BLA, the new lot or the reconfigured boundaries, all of the easements follow that lot. All of the tax liens follow that lot. All of the building permits follow that lot. It isn't a new lot, and none of the cases cited by appellants stand for that proposition. The only thing we saw on reply was this concept of a naming convention. The fact that the court refers to these lots as new is merely an indication that they were using a naming convention to differentiate between the boundaries of the old version of that lot and the new version of that lot. It doesn't in any way eradicate the fact that under Sammamish Municipal Code, you can't create new lots via a boundary line adjustment. Under state law, RCW 5817-04, you can't create a new lot.
But boundary line adjustments have been used to create new building sites in the context of city lots where they've been rotated. That's the City of Seattle case.
Crispin, is that the City of Seattle versus Crispin?
It's the one where they rotate the lot lines 90 degrees and they create a building site. They don't create any new lots, but they do create a new building site.
Well, the key to that opinion, and you can see this on the face of the opinion, is that the city originally, when the owner of that property came to the city and said, I want to build on this lot, the city said it was buildable, and the court's analysis is merely that holding the city essentially to its word. You said this was buildable, a BLA occurred without city approval.
My experience in other jurisdictions after that case was decided that people would come in after they looked at the orientation of lot lines and plats, and they would do boundary line adjustments that rotated them 90 degrees and create skinny lots and build houses. And as a result, we then had ordinances about building houses on skinny lots to try and prevent that development, but that that occurred for a period of time.
Well, that is actually a point that appellant brings up, this concept that the boundary line adjustment was improper because it created a lot that was subsized or substandard. But when you actually look at the Sammamish Municipal Code, the newly created lot meets all of the dimension requirements because the city of Sammamish does not have a minimum dimension requirement for an office parcel. So a skinny lot is not an issue here. This is a properly sized lot. It's simply not developable because it was previously developed. And under the takings doctrine, you don't get a second use of your parcel. You get one use of your parcel. And the appellants substantially benefited from the development of their parcel when they sold the adjacent parcel 9058 in 2006 for over $3 million. And appellants testified at the hearing in this case that that development would not have been possible but for the development of the subject parcel here, 9032. So the boundary line adjustment had no impact or did not strip appellants of the monetary benefits that they gained from 9032, nor did it give them the right to redevelop. And again, the boundary line adjustment standard is merely that it must not, in the city of Sammamish, create a new lot, create a lot that does not qualify as a building site, or reduce the conforming lot dimensions or to non-conforming dimensions. This boundary line adjustment met all three of those, and appellants are simply wrong when they urge this court to believe that a building site must be a piece of parcel that can be developed. The city advised them of that at multiple times. And again, the definition of building site says currently legally developed. This parcel in their application sought to develop all of 9032, which they then did. Again, they extracted all of the economic benefits out of 9032 via the combined development of the two parcels and benefited greatly. And they are simply not entitled to a second use, and that comes out of the Village of Euclid case that was cited by both parties. The city, again, did not make a mistake by approving the BLA. The BLA met all of the requirements, and the city approved of it properly. Appellant is simply incorrect that a BLA gives him the right to redevelop any parcel that he has already previously developed. An appellant has not shown the court at any level that a taking can arise where an owner extracted the economic value from his land before the city adopted the subject regulations that allegedly infringed upon his ability to develop it further. Nor has the appellant shown that merely redrawing the boundaries means that the appellant lost the economic value that he previously extracted from that parcel. To find for the appellants, the court must find that a BLA creates a lot that can be redeveloped, which is not a true concept. This is not supported by any of the authorities cited by appellants, and in Washington, the opposite is true. Appellants are mixing inaccurate BLA law with the takings doctrine in an attempt to birth a compensable claim. This was rejected by the city, the hearing examiner, and the Superior Court, and those apt decisions should be affirmed. Unless there are any other additional questions. Thank you.
Counsel for the city repeatedly says that I don't give the full site on building site. I talk about building site as an area of land that is capable of being developed under all of those regulations. She said, oh, but you have to look at number two, where it says, or currently legally developed. And she says, oh, well, 9032 was currently legally developed because of the stormwater detention pond. Therefore, that's why we approved the BLA. Problem is, you go to the BLA code. This is the Sammamish code. A boundary line adjustment proposal shall not result in a lot that does not qualify as a building site. It's after the BLA, not before the BLA, that you have to look at. You cannot have a BLA that results in a lot that doesn't qualify as a building site. So the idea that the area north of the creek was already developed is irrelevant. The resulting 9032 after the BLA must qualify as a building site under their own code, or they should not approve the BLA. They approved the BLA. That means they determined it is a qualified building site. Once it's a qualified building site, it is a new lot. It is created under the Subdivision Map Act through the BLA proposal, and there are rights that are secured to that property. That property has right of a fundamental, some economic use, and that is denied. Here, we are dealing with a very simple situation. Once they approve that BLA, there's finality that attaches to that. That's the Mikrim case. And that finality is very important to buyers of property and banks and everyone else, because people rely on that. When they approve the BLA, Kinder A's properly, Elliott Severinsen properly, expended over $100,000 applying for an Ace Hardware permit. Why? Because the BLA was approved. They then backed down from that, but ultimately the use was denied. Thank you.
Our next case this morning is...